The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
So I want to welcome you. We are on Prayer Clinic. Prayer Clinic Part 3. Hallelujah. Prayer Clinic, the third part. You know, the subject of prayer is so important that we'll discuss it. But you know what is more important than discussing the subject of prayer? Praying. Praying is more important than teaching on prayer. Because when we teach on prayer, it is to the end that we eventually pray. So it's good we learn prayer, but then the end point of this, of it all, is that we are able to make our time to pray. So Thursday, I was laying some foundations for us. I was trying to show us how to begin to work on yourself to have a quality prayer life. One of the things I said that Thursday is that just like Ephesians 6 verse 18 tells us with Amplified Classic to pray all manner of prayers. That should be the quality of your prayer life. Praying all manner of prayers. A healthy prayer life is such prayer life that, you see, prays all manner of prayers. You can't have a prayer life, no matter how long it is, that all you pray about are your needs. That's not a quality prayer life. You can't have a prayer life that all you pray about is for demons to fall down and die. That's not a quality prayer life. Even if you think that there is nothing wrong with telling demons to fall down and die, if that is all you are praying about, something is already wrong with that. Because you are not praying all manner of prayers. You can't have a prayer life, for instance, that all you do is intercession. What you don't realize is that if you do only intercession and you don't get to pray for yourself, you will not have the expected results. Because at the end of the day, it is what you address in prayer that will change. So if you don't get, for instance, to pray for your health in prayer, your health will not readjust. It is what you address in prayer that will change. It is what you address in prayer that will change. So it's good you intercede in prayers, but then your prayer must cover all manner of prayers. For instance, I was showing you, that is the prayer of faith. That is the prayer of faith. But all your prayer life cannot be bordered or centered around the prayer of faith, where all you do is, I command, be healed, be this. No. That's not results. There are some funny folks today in the body of Christ who actually claim that new creation people who don't pray, who say all I need to do is to give command. If I give command, it is done. Well, there is a prayer like that. Well, that's not all you have to be doing in your prayer time. Jesus prayed. Jesus spent time in prayer. Jesus fasted for 40 days. In the whole 40 days, he wasn't giving command. He was praying. I get what I'm talking about. He was praying. And I will show you on Thursday how that what we call the prayer of faith should actually be preceded by supplication. We saw that, for instance, in John chapter 11, when Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus, he said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. And when he says, I thank you because you have heard me, he goes to show that before he got to Lazarus' tomb, he had prayed. I get the point. So prior to Jesus saying, Lazarus, come forth, which is prayer of faith, he already prayed. And he was sure God had heard him. So he now came there and gave a command. That's why before you begin to give commands in your prayer life, there must be supplication that will back it up. Or that will precede it. And so a solid prayer life is the type of prayer life that covers all manner of prayers. All manner of prayers. Supplication, prayer of faith, prayer of dedication, and consecration. And I was talking about that on Thursday. How that there are prayer times you should come in prayer, and all you are coming to this to consecrate yourself to the Lord. Father, not my will, but your will. Okay? I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I yield myself to your will. I yield myself to your leading. Now in that prayer, not asking for anything, but you are praying. What are you doing? You are dedicating and consecrating yourself to the Lord. That also is prayer. Are you following me, friends? There is also, for instance, what we call ministering to the Lord, prayer of worship. Where you just come to God, not only are you doing thanksgiving, you are just fellowshipping with Him, ministering to Him, you know, having good time with God. Just thanking God 1 hour, 2 hours, you are in that environment. That is such a prayer time. You are not asking for anything in particular, okay, but then you are praying. Are you following me, friends? You are praying, spending time with God. All these kind of prayers and everything we discussed on Thursday must reflect in your prayer life if you're going to have a quality prayer life. So you see what I said on Thursday, a quality prayer life is not just about how long you pray. Even though it's important to pray long, and we might discuss that this morning, but that's not all there is to be in your prayer life. Let me tell you, when we're checking the quality of a prayer life, we're not just checking the length it has, we're also checking the content. What are you doing in prayers? I've been on the mountain for 7 days. What have you been doing there? Binding devils, killing witches. That's what the quality prayer life. I get what I'm saying? That's why prayer is important, but then the content of a prayer is important. Imagine a believer who does not pray for others and he prays for 10 hours. He has a very weak prayer life. It's not about the length only. It's also about the content of that prayer life. So a serious Christian must have a prayer life where all manner of prayer and entreaty are made. All manner. All manner. All manner. Supplication. Intercession. Prayer of faith. Prayer of worship. Prayer of dedication. Prayer of consecration. All those prayers must reflect your prayer life. Amen. So you see what we do with our prayer watch. How that every day that is something we are praying about. We can't possibly have a successful prayer watch if every day we come for that prayer watch, we are praying about our needs. Or every day we come for that prayer watch, we are praying about church. Or every day we come for that prayer watch, we're praying about that it must cover everything. Are you following what I'm talking about? It must cover everything. So that there are times you're praying for people's needs. There are times you're praying for your own needs. There are times you're praying for people's health. There are times you are praying for your own finance. You know, I was saying on Thursday, there are some Christians here, some pastors here themselves, that I had to help at the time in their walk with God. Because they became so engrossed with praying for the gospel and spread of the gospel, which is actually okay. Are you know what I'm saying? Which is okay. But they began to feel a bit guilty whenever they have to pray for their own lives. So when you find yourself praying for your own life, something tells you, you are becoming too selfish. No. Now, if you're praying every day for your own life, then that's selfishness. But to ignore yourself entirely, you are calling for trouble. Because one position you must never take in the realm of the spirit is passivity. I'll say that again. One position you must never take is passivity. Never be passive. Never relax thinking that everything will align. No, it doesn't work like that. You must address issues. If you don't address your health will not align. If you don't address your finances, it's not aligned. If you leave it to chance, it will just be there. If you don't pray about your studies, it will just be there. So don't be passive. I get the point. A pastor, for instance, who doesn't pray about his church, the church will not do well. But a pastor who prays only about his church, his family will suffer. Are you getting me, friends? So a quality prayer life must involve all manner of prayers. All manner of prayers. All kinds of prayers. All kinds of prayer requests. Are you following me? Quality prayer life. And I'm going to try to build on that this morning. Because, okay, I think how I ended up on Thursday, I was going to talk to you about prayer posture. Do you remember that? I think the media team, I think that teaching on prayer posture, a part of it has to be extracted and posted on social media. Because people need help. Do you understand? Prayer posture. A while ago, it didn't have been a big deal to teach on prayer posture. How does it matter whether I'm bowing down to prayer or kneeling down to prayer? But today it's becoming a big deal. Because there are some people that feel that except that praying is setting prayer postures where they're standing in some funny ways, then they are not being spiritual. Something is fundamentally wrong with that. And I gave you a general lead when it has to do with prayer posture. First of all, any posture you take in prayer, first, it must be a posture that engages you. That engages you. In other words, you cannot have a prayer posture that makes you a bit passive in prayer or that makes you absent-minded in prayer. I give an example with waking up in the morning around 5 a.m. to do your quiet time, and then you kneel down or you lie down under your duvet. I say, that's my prayer posture. That's not engaging enough. You will sleep off. Are you following what I'm saying? So it must engage you. It must engage you. The second thing I said, it must be convenient for you. By convenient, we mean, I'm not saying it should be too convenient for you so that you now start sleeping. But at least it shouldn't be something that will harm you. Because you're trying, and this is where people need help. Well, some sex in the body of Christ has made it look like if you're not praying in a certain way, keeping your body somehow, or moving your body in a certain way, I don't want to show you, but you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't know, it's okay, you don't know. If you don't look like that, it means you're not praying. That's wrong, go. I know Elijah prayed, but and he put his head in between his knees. But it was only prophet that did that in the Bible. Now, you have made it a pattern. If your head cannot enter your knees, pray normally. Don't do some discomforting things because you're trying to belong. You're trying to appear spiritual. The aim is to actually be very spiritual, not to appear spiritual. Or try to look spiritual. I get what I'm saying? All these crazy things. I pray with you here. And I said it on Thursday. You don't see me disfigure myself in a certain way because I want to pray. And you think your prayer life is stronger than mine? Let's try it. It's not just about trying to make yourself in a certain way. I don't know what all those things. Because you want to show that you are spiritual. If that's how you pray, it's okay. But if I don't pray like that, nothing is wrong with you. Say amen. Nothing is wrong with you. So you must be convenient. I gave an example, for instance, on that day. A pregnant woman, 8 months, 9 months, who is not that strong, but praying for 4 hours. Should she attend the prayer meeting? Yeah, she should attend it. But do you expect her to be jumping up and, when she's praying? No. I get the point. That's why she has to pick a convenient prayer posture. And there's nothing wrong with what she's doing. I get what I'm saying. Some people, once you say, let us pray, before they even open their mouth, they've taken that prayer posture. Do you know what I'm saying now? Before they even start praying, they've twisted themselves in that certain way. No, now. You are now acting drama. And you don't act for God. God doesn't do Netflix. I get what I'm saying. Now, I said it must be convenient. And then number three, I said it must depict the state of your heart. So it's okay to kneel down sometimes in prayer and lift up your hands if that's how you're feeling. It's not drama. Do you understand? There are people that kneel down in church, but they are standing in their heart. They're prostrating, but it's not. It's just all drama. There are people that even form prayer posture for camera. Once that big camera around your side, you kneel down. And God help you, I'm not the camera guy. I will snap you, but will not post it. You will never see that picture. What are you trying to achieve? What are you trying to deceive? Because camera is coming around you. No. You are just an actor. That's not how it works. So, the idea of prayer posture basically is that you pick a posture that depicts the state of your heart. If you want to pray, maybe we are singing, praying a prayer like, I give myself away so you can. Now, at that point, you can kneel down. Do you understand the point? You can lay down. You can lie down. I showed you about 6-7 prayer postures from the Bible. That is standing. That is sitting. That is lying. That is walking. I showed all of that in the Bible. What I didn't show you is to disfigure yourself. Of course, I know prayer can become very passionate at times. And you tend to do some crazy stuff. But it's not every time you want to pray, you take that posture. Look at the secret I taught you. If you're praying and your heart is in the prayer you are making, You don't need to bother about prayer posture. You will do what is right. Are you what I'm saying? That's why your prayer should not just be lip service. Your heart must be connected. I give an example. If I'm singing worship here now, there's a song that I'm going to raise. Nobody will beg you to start jumping up. If you're following the song very well. You get the point. If your heart is in a song and they start doing a song that has to do with joy, I have got joy. Joy. If you're following the song, what do you? You should start running already. If I'm singing a song of dedication, my life is available to you. If you're actually following, one of the major things that you are saying, your hands are lifted up or you're kneeling down because your heart is in it. But when your heart is not in the prayer, you just try to act drama. That's why effective prayer begins when your heart and your tongue are in agreement. So you're saying something and your heart is connected to what you're saying. I get what I'm saying. Again, I say that's why you don't pick a prayer posture that makes you absent-minded in prayer. Absent-minded. Pressing your phone while you're praying. Absent-mindedness. Lying down on that duvet. In the morning, when sleep is already carrying you. There are prayer postures you don't take when you're already very tired. Are you aware? When you're already very, very tired, it's 10 p.m., 11 p.m., but you just want to pray because you know you need to pray. That's not when to lie down. As the pastor said, we can take any posture that is convenient for us. It's now too convenient for you. Get under your duvet, cover yourself with AC, blowing on your head, lying on that. Say, shaka. You wake up by 5 a.m. Do you understand? That's when you should stand. Amen. So talking about having a quality prayer life, okay? Quality prayer life. Praying to get results. So today I'm going to show you something else. What I just said in our prayer posture helps someone. I know it helps some of you. I know what I'm saying. But I know where some of you are coming from. I know what's happening there. Amen. I've gone to a certain meeting where all of them had that kind of, this is an exception, but they had all those kind of, whatever, they were even fasting for 7 days. When I ministered for them, I cast out devils from many of them. Do you understand? Because once you begin to do certain things in the flesh, you've opened yourself for the devil to possess you, to oppress you. I feel what I'm saying. All those acting. You know, thoughts that I was saying, one day, just one day, the day the Lord permits me, I will address groaning in prayer. One of those things is just not prayer. And you know, if I want to address it, I'm going to say, I'll say how I want to say it. What are you doing? I'm groaning. Tongues has finished. You've entered groaning. Most of those things, drama. Most of those things. I didn't say all, most. Glory to God. You know, if you're a pastor, if you're a minister of the gospel in this 21st century, one of the things you must not be is a spineless minister who follows trends, who says what is trending so that they can be accepted. I'm not like that. You get the point? If you were here today, I told you things about chanting. Do you remember? Many of you didn't like it, but it is what it is. You don't make noise in singing. Amen. So I don't believe in chanting. I believe in singing in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 15, I will pray with the Spirit, I will sing in my understanding. I will pray in the Spirit, I will pray in my understanding, I will sing in the Spirit, I will sing. That's what I believe. I believe in singing in the Spirit. Amen. And let me even clarify, singing and making melody in your heart is not chanting. It is psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And spiritual songs are understandable. That's why we could write a book called the Book of Psalm. Because what they sang were the things that could be written. Did you hear what I said? I took, imagine if all David was doing in his prayer life was that he was chanting. Yeah. And then he will write the book of Psalm. Psalm 2, verse 9. Yeah. Imagine Charles Wesley, all these guys that gave us all these powerful hymns we are singing now. All they were doing in the generation was that they were chanting. We must be careful what we are passing on to the next generation. See this prayer thing. We are trying to twist ourselves and act in a certain way. That thing cannot even stand the test of time. You can't even twist that way for 8 hours. Did you hear what I said? When the die is cast. I know a young man that came for me to pray with me many years ago. Some years ago. In school. He's a pastor doing well today anyway. He came those days. He said, I want us to pray together. I said, okay. And he let that, he wanted to show me that he could pray actually. So he said, let's go to the mountain. I said, fine. The man of God must be rugged. So I prayed in the mountains many times. It wasn't a big deal. We got there. I said, how long are we praying? He said, until the Spirit tells us stuff. I said, it's okay. So, the important thing is put that in the prayer. Now, here are the Lord of drama to act. That's why there are some screamings that are empty. But again, talks about a preacher that was screaming too much. He said, every time he screamed, he saw the emptiness. So, I was praying. Put your heart in the prayer. He went 30, 45 minutes. He knelt down. Once they kneel down like that, they're getting tired. He knelt down. He sat on the floor. By the time we could touch, he touched me. Say, let's summarize. So I told him, I said, you actually have a good prayer life. But you don't come to prayer to impress anybody. I guess what I'm saying. I've not had my notes. I just saying what I feel like, what God's put in my heart. You don't come to prayer. Also, of you, I'm talking to all of you. You don't come to prayer because it's prayer time. You're like, who are you trying to impress? Why are you trying to impress? Now, if that's how you are scared to pray at the time, pray like that. I believe in intensity, but I'll talk about it very shortly. But make sure that's not because you want to impress anybody. Will you pray like that if nobody was in the room? If you're alone in your house, will you do all those things? You are supposed to pray with intensity. But the important thing is come from the heart. If it comes from the heart, even if you are praying with your head in between your legs, you can pray for 8 hours. I get the point. Elijah kept his head like that. That guy went for 7 times to check in that river. He was still like that. Because he wasn't trying to form for anybody. He was connected to the prayer. But when you come here because you want to form, you want to ask drama, you will run out of energy. Because the flesh cannot carry you past 30 minutes in prayer. I feel what I'm saying. So you commit yourself to the prayer. So I'm talking about the quality prayer life. Now, I addressed in the first service 5 things also that you must have in your life that must characterize a quality prayer life. Number one, for instance, is passion. Passion for prayer. You must love to pray. You must have passion. Let me tell you, I think the church we are raising today, not we, as I mean the body of Christ generally, have lost passion for prayer. People don't even want to pray. You know, before God begins to do anything with you, you must first love that thing. I know you cannot pray, but you must at least have passion. You must have a desire in your heart that you want to be able to pray better. You must be there. All this crazy idea of the organized 5-hour social experience, everywhere is packed out. The organized 5-hour prayer, you escape. Something is wrong. It means fundamentally, you don't even want to know how to pray. And when there is no passion to pray, can never get better. I love to pray. Every believer should love to pray. Now, we're not discussing whether you can pray or not, or whether you can stay in prayer, but at least there should be a desire in your heart. I want to be able to pray better. Passion. Passion. Your prayer life must be such that it's characterized by passion to pray. I really want to pray. I really want to pray better. I was given an example in the first service. Our generation do not respond to prayer. But you see, okay, let me put it this way. They don't respond. There are two things that people respond to these days. You see, one is, I would have said music, but not really music. They respond to celebrities. Right? Because if it's about a worship concert, and you don't bring a popular face that they know, they're not coming. So it's not about the worship. Now, I have nothing against popular singers, so I'll give an example. If there is a worship concert, and they tell you that Jennifer is going to be there, and she will sing, "Jesus, you love me too much," that's what she will sing. You should come. Many people will not come. But when they say, "Mercy Chinwo is going to be there," she will sing, "Jesus, you love me too," they will come. It's not the song they want to sing. It's the person they want to see. Now, something is actually wrong with that. I guess what I'm saying. Something is actually wrong with that. I'm not saying against guest artists. Okay, this year, next year, we might bring one or two faces here. Amen? Just to tell you, I have nothing against them. To be honest. But some people think I'm angry with them. I'm not. But there are patterns that set up, come up in the generation, and if people don't begin to speak against it, the next generation will copy it. I get what I'm saying. So our generation responds to celebrities. Two. They respond to, not prayer, they respond to receiving prayer. If you tell them that here they're going to bless them, they will fill up this place. You are blessed. But when you now call them to come and pray, And let me tell you, you must have passion to pray. Because like I told them in the first service, all this mama's prayer got me covered is fake. My wife is a powerful prayer woman. OP. Because there is something the prayer of your wife can do for you. But there is something your prayer must do for you. Romans 15 verse 30, Paul told them, "I beseech you by the love of the Spirit." Okay? But the Lord Jesus said, "And by the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me your prayers." He says, strive together. Together there means, pray with me as I am praying. You strive together. So Paul is not saying, just be praying for me where you are, while I'm just here relaxing. He said, I'm praying, strive together. Let us pray together. So I said in the first time, is the reason why your mother's prayer are not working in your life is because you are not praying. Because you need corresponding action to make that prayer work. I guess what I'm talking about, friends. You must decide to have your personal prayer life. That's what I mentioned, passion. Passion. It is passion for prayers that will make you set a prayer time. Set your alarm to it. Because you really want to pray. And can I say this, what I said in the first service? I'm not saying it to castigate anybody. When I'm talking about passion for prayer, our lost prayer is not prayer. Did you hear what I said? Some of you, your prayer, say, did you pray this morning? Say, yes. What did you do? Say, I said, I lost prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's not prayer. You pray. And to tell you that that's not prayer, first of all, it's not even our lost. You call it our lost prayer. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. That thing is a how to pray. How to pray. It's not prayer itself. Jesus went to the mountain. He stayed there. One of those days, he prayed for 1 hour. Came back and met his disciples and told them, watch me for another 1 hour. He went and prayed for another 1 hour. He prayed for like 3 hours. Do you think he was just there reciting, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Amen." Again, our Father. That's not prayer. You pray. May we share the grace. It's not prayer. Pray. Should I say one more? Sign of the cross is not prayer. Now, did you know what I said? What did I say? I don't have anything against you. What is sign of the cross? It says in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let me even agree with you. Is that prayer? So I come and touch that thing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is that prayer? In Jesus' name, you now want to start praying. So even if you want to do sign of the cross, do it and pray. Say amen. Do you know what I said? You want to prove a matter. I think you prayed. So God should read your sign. Angels should read the movement of your hand. Prayer is with your lips. I get the point. Let me even add something else. Prayer is not recitation. It's not reciting anything. Amen. I have 15 days of declaring God's word. There is a place for declaring that thing. But that thing is not prayer. Pray. Did you hear what I said? Talk to God about your needs. Make supplication. Intercession does not cover personal prayer. And that's why I find it funny. Now I'm saying, even men interceding for you on earth here does not cover your own personal prayer. I now find it funny for people who don't pray, who think that some being in heaven is praying for them. That's delusional. Somebody's lying to you. Nobody nowhere is praying for you. Not even Jesus. Let me say to you, prayer does not happen in heaven. In heaven, they have no needs. You know what I said? Listen, though. He said, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 7 verse 25 that Jesus is making intercession for us. Yes. He didn't say he's making intercessory prayer for us. He's making intercession, not intercessory prayer. Intercession means he's our mediator between God and man. Mediator between God and man. How does he make intercession? By already seeing intercession he's making, he liveth forever. His presence, his sacrifice, and sitting on that right hand is the mediation between God and man. That's why we can now come to God. That's why we can talk to God. It doesn't mean Jesus is in heaven praying. People don't want that man to rest. He came here, spent 3 years. People killed him. After he killed him, he said to heaven, to God, start praying for you. He is seated at the Father's right hand. Don't worry, he's not praying. You pray. Say amen. Don't be deceived. Nobody is praying for you. Pray for yourself. Amen. Thank God for Mary, the mother of Jesus. Great woman. Great woman. Very powerful in the chronicles of the history of the church. But Mary is praying for nobody. You know what I said? Mary, I can tell you who Mary is. Mary got born again after Jesus died. Just like you got born again. Mary God filled with the Holy Ghost, just like God filled with the Holy Ghost. Say, how do you know, sir? It's in the Bible. Acts chapter 1. When they were in the upper room, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And all of them spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost. A little history will tell you that Mary really carried the gospel very wide at her own time. She was a believer, great believer. But in heaven, as she's praying for us, no. As a matter of fact, Mary is not even among the apostles of the Lamb. Now, nothing against Mary. I'm saying she's not praying for you. No saint is praying for nobody. So, Peter is praying for you. Saints, who is praying for you? And I'm hammering this not because I'm against any church, but these are some of the things that make for laziness in our prayer lives. Because somehow we believe somebody is covering us. Nobody is covering nobody. Now, I preach intercession here, but even the intercession that we make for you, you have to pray for yourself. Are you following what I'm talking about? Are you following me? Whenever I go blunt like this, you should know God is dealing with something. Are you following me? Pray for yourself. Have a prayer life. I gave an example in first service. Minister Rose can pray for me. Father, no, Jesus, as pastor is traveling, keep him safe. Or pray for anybody. God will answer the prayer. But you see, it is now my own prayer, for instance, that will help me to be able to follow divine leading. When God is saying, don't enter this bus, enter that bus. It's not Minister Rose's prayer that will do that for me. I get what I'm saying. It's not a prayer. I can pray for you to prosper your business and you shout amen. But you need to mature yourself in your prayer life. So when there is a business deal and God is saying, don't invest here, this thing will crash. You need to be able to hear it. How will you hear it? By my prayer. No, by your prayer life. So you must have passion to pray. Are you following me? You must have passion to pray. You must love to pray for yourself. You must love to pray for the church. You must love to pray. Because I said in first service, at different times, God will drop burdens in your heart. What is a burden? Sometimes you just stay in your room and just find this pressure from nowhere to pray. You don't even know why. But it's just there in your heart. Something is saying, pray, pray, pray. See, stand up and respond to that. Immediately. Burden, passion, whenever a burden rises your heart to pray, you must never turn it down. But if you are someone that already does not love to pray, even when that burden drops your heart, you can just leave it. Can I tell you, people by responding to burdens in their hearts, many have been saved from suicide. Many have been saved from death. Many have been turned around. Just because something rose in their heart and said, begin to pray now. Begin to pray now. Amen. I've had people tell me, I saw you in my dream and you were praying for me. But I've had more dramatic experiences where the person says, I saw you in my dream, you were praying for me. And actually, in the physical, I was actually praying at that exact time for that person. Yeah. That's why you must have a prayer. You must love to pray. You must have passion for prayer. So when they say that it's prayer drive, you don't need to know how to pray. That prayer for 6 hours. Appear there first and stay. That is showing that you are passionate about prayer. Appear first. Every time I tell you that story of how I went to a prayer meeting where these guys wanted to kill me with prayer, they will call one prayer point, pray for 45 minutes. Me, I will sleep and wake up. And sometimes the prayer points they call were too simple. Hand over this into the hand of God. What is that about that? Father, we take this meeting and hand over into your hands. Amen. In Jesus' name. But they will not stop. There was some assault. For God to take this meeting again. Is it not this meeting? Let us pray for the minister that will minister to us now. Hey, back up, back. For me, I thought it was simple. For the name of this minister that will minister to us, in the name of Jesus, let him preach well. Speak to us in the language we understand. Is it? That was what I knew. But these guys were not able to now go, hello, Yabara. I said, what? For God to take over this meeting. But you know the thing? I didn't leave that meeting to say to myself, this guy said, I want to keep me with prayer. If you see me again in this meeting, call me bastard. You know bastard? You know that's bastard. I'm bastard. If I ever come again, I didn't do that. I left there and I told myself, I must be able to do this. It should stay a passion in your heart. I will come to that church again. That's too serious. Then go to where your unserious people are. You must love to pray. You might not know how to pray, but it starts by loving to pray. You must love to pray. A serious quality prayer life has passion for prayer. Passion. I know people have done crazy things in the name of prayer, but the first thing I appreciate is that they actually wanted to pray at least. Some big 7 days dry fasting, which I'm going to talk about very soon and warn you about that. 18 days dry fasting. No food, no water. Well, while there are extremes, but at least there was a desire in their hearts to pray. Some of it will never cross your mind to fix any fast. Never. Say, I love to pray. Say it again. Some detest prayer. Once you come to church now and we're saying it's 20 minutes prayer session, let's start praying. They're checking their time. Why don't you get tired when we are singing? Huh? That's why I find it very funny for churches that can freely have 40 minutes prayer session but can barely have 10 minutes. I was reading some materials recently. It's been long. I read those kind of materials. Recently, I went through them again. I just found out I don't need anything in this book. They are teaching church marketing. Not like church marketing. Yeah, there are many books on that. Church, like, don't think marketing is a figurative word. Like church marketing. How to market your church. So I was going through it. Let me see. Let me not be biased. Is there anything I need here? And they will tell you things like, don't pray. When you come to your church, don't speak in tongues for long. Because there are many people that will come in who don't actually understand tongues, who don't know how to speak in tongues, so it may scare them away. So you just keep your service as carnal as you can. That's the only thing I understood from what they were saying. Keep it as carnal as you can and as worldly as it can be, to accommodate worldliness. Now, that's not what they wrote. That's what I understood. Now, if you come here and you cannot pray in tongues, and we start praying in tongues, let passion to pray in tongues jump into you. Let it jump into you. It's not to say because you don't pray in tongues, you should now start doing what? Start speaking this, Father will thank you. So they teach you when you come to church, first thing you do is give a 1 minute prayer session. Father, we thank you for bringing us here. Oh, hallelujah. We know you're going to bless us. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're going to bless us. Choir comes up and they take us to the third heavens. And we dance very unscriptural. Danced on scriptural lyrics, dancing on godly dance steps. You know that ungodly dance steps? Did you hear what I said? There are dance steps you cannot dance in church. No matter how high the praise is, don't shake your buttocks in church. Shaking unto the Lord. Did you hear what I said? You don't shake your buttocks unto the Lord. What are you trying to do? Seduce the angels. No. I guess they're pushing me this morning. I don't know. There's something. I remember, I'm feeling like taxes. That is you don't do. That is you don't do. But why you find that kind of carnality in those places is because we value to sing and dance more than we value to pray. The most predominant activity in church should be the word of God. Second to it should be prayer. So you must develop passion for prayer. If this is your church, you must love to pray. You must love to pray. Corporate prayers, personal prayers, you must love prayer. You're a student here, when you go back to your hostel, you must love to pray. Take steps to pray. Take decisions. Step out of your room. Do prayer work. Do you still do prayer work? My days as a student, prayer work worked very well. And those days, if you're living inside school, and then you have roommates, you cannot pray as you want, wake up in the morning. Just do prayer work. People wake up to work out. They are walking up and shamalakarabataya. Come around there. Some of you that are in school, you have prayer grounds. Do they still have those things? You better start going there. Start going there. Go and pray. Must love to pray. So first I said passion for prayer. Passion for prayer. Passion for prayer. The second thing that must characterize a quality prayer life, okay, is fervency. Romans chapter 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You must be fervent in spirit. By fervency, we are talking about seriousness, intensity. Your prayer life should have some intensity. Now, because I was saying you shouldn't pray disfiguring yourself, doesn't mean you should pray in a very passive way. So that's when you pray that kind of passivity, I can tell you, I'm not a serious person. Because when something do, you will not pray passively. It's time to pray. You know, Hato, Shana, Embrade, Jimbrada, you are just acting. That's not prayer. Prayer should carry intensity, fervency. Sir, should we start acting it? How to do fervency prayer? Let your heart connect to your prayer. But it must have intensity. Oh, la Brenda. Like, you can't do this thing I'm doing now for 2 hours. Shakaka. Shakaka. You're looking up and down. Yakaba. What do you think you are? Pray with some seriousness. Pray with some intensity. Pray with some earnestness. Put your heart in the prayer and pray. Your personal prayer time should not be times where you are praying and you're operating your phone. No, sir. You can't do that. You are praying and you are watching TV. Taking life scores. They will win your team. You check life scores, your team will lose. In prayer. You are praying. No. Of course, there is prayer on the go. You can be driving and you are praying. You can be cooking. That is that part. But then, you should have a special prayer time. Where there is fervency in your prayer. all this, I want to pray in church. And I was talking to the ushers and every other person in the departments. Amen. By the way, let me address this department thing. Digression now. Forgive me. If you are in a department here, they changed your department. One of the ways you should not treat such things, there is no department you are serving that is a demotion. We moved you from ushering to expression. We didn't demote you. Move from expression to technical. We didn't demote you. There is no department that is a demotion. We just put you where we feel that you should serve better. I get the point. 5 years later, they may bring you back to whatever department, possibly. You should have a heart that is willing to serve. That's the important thing. As a digression. And if you've been put in a department, please serve there. And if you've not been put in any department, or you've completed your PGTI basic, go pick up your form outside. Fill that form. We're going to post you where that form is indication of interest. They will post you where God wants you to serve for now. But I was saying that because wherever you are serving, whether you are carrying camera or you are serving as an usher, and are praying, pray with intensity. And like I said in the first service, please let the ushers rest. Let them breathe. They also came to service like you. Only in one service, you've called an usher 5 times. What's wrong with you? Huh? Can't get me water. Where is the toilet? I need sweets. Do you have tissue? What's wrong with you? You didn't know you were coming to church? Let the ushers breathe. Don't suffocate them. So that they too can pray with that kind of intensity. That's why I tell my instrumentalists, and I'm saying it openly, they know, but I'll say it openly now. You are playing for me on the stage, and I turn, you are not praying with intensity, I can send you down. If you walk with me, you know that's me, that is normal. You know, these days I'm actually becoming, the pastoral ministry has changed me a lot. Normal me. I just point, get down, get out of my stage. Because you cannot take people to a place you've never been. I get what I'm saying? You can't take people to a place you've never been. So we're praying, and you're praying for us. Make us to aid our intensity, and you're not with that intensity. You're just there, playing and smiling. Chewing gum. Something will happen to your mouth. You must pray with intensity. So can I be playing keyboard and be praying seriously? And at that place is sweet now. There are people I know that actually pray with keyboards in their house. Or they play with the lead guitar. They're praying. Now you should use that. Don't just be carnal. Pray with intensity. Let your prayer life carry fervency. Not just in business. Look at Amplified Classic of this verse. Amplified Classic. Let's read together, everybody. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. Be burning. Your prayer life should be burning. So you don't pray just passively. That's why again, when I was talking about prayer posture, I said, choose a posture that engages you in prayer. You must pray with intensity. So your prayer life must have fervency. Number 3, your prayer life must have consistency. Consistency. Nothing of God, I've said all the time, works except you do it consistently. And I've said it many times, the reason why many of you come to church and you complain that church is not working for you is because you're not consistent. You are addicted to smoking. Do you remember how you got addicted to smoking? You smoked once. Second time, then you smoked every other day. Every day. Morning, night, sometimes. 2 times, 3 times. Before you knew, you could not control yourself again. Now, you want to break up from that addiction and you think that by Pastor said we should just declare and tell ourselves, I'm not a sinner. You just do it 2 times and say it doesn't work. How long did it take you to get addicted? It's only in the things of God that we don't like consistency. I get the point. Must be consistent. There is nothing you will succeed at if you're not a consistent person. So, prayer life does not have quality because we prayed for 4 hours on 21st of July and prayed for another 4 hours on 13th of October. That's not a powerful prayer life. It is intensity. 1 hour every day. 30 minutes every day. That's what makes your intensity in prayer. Yes, once in a while, you have long prayers, but intensity. But good prayer is consistency. So, if I want to measure your prayer life now, some of you have to ask you, how is your prayer life? You just say, fine. And whenever I ask you that question, this is what I'm asking for. I'm asking for, how far with the length, the content of your prayer life? How is the consistency of your prayer life? How often do you pray? What do you pray about? How do you pray with intensity? Not you have prayer life and you just come out because they say you should pray for 30 minutes. You just come out and press your phone, shampro, tambro. You now forget and then press phone for like 15 minutes. You say, shakabom, bra, bra, bra. You are not praying. I say, how was your prayer life? I prayed for 30 minutes. Who are you trying to impress? Angels. You know you are not praying. So consistency. There is nothing you do without consistency that will succeed. Nothing. You want to learn how to drive. Huh? And you go for your driving classes on Monday. And you come again next 2 weeks Monday. You will never learn that. Don't worry. You see, even after you learn how to drive, there is need to be driving consistently. That's why some of you have learned how to drive. But if they still give you a car to drive, your hand will still shake. Don't worry, nothing is wrong with you. Once you buy a car, you'll drive better. Because you just have to drive it consistently that you become good at it. There is no worthwhile venture that people succeed at if they don't do it consistently. You can't go to classes as a medical student once in a week. Just like some of you come to church once in a week or once in 2 weeks. Don't the service, we're not going to see you. And you want to be a solid Christian. You can't go to class as a medical student once in a week and expect to be a good doctor. You'll be a quack doctor. That's if you ever become a doctor. It takes consistency. Appearing all the time. Prayer was my consistency. Look at Jesus' prayer life. Mark 1:35. A great while before day, he will arise and go to pray. Jesus had customs. He had cultures. He will almost have things. You know, look for verse, I think verse 15 said, I believe verse 16, he went to the temple, to the synagogue, and as his custom, that was as his custom was. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue. Every believer must have as his custom is. Ah, she has gone to pray as her custom is. I get what I'm saying. You know how that girl normally does. Now by 4 p.m. she's always praying. That should be your story. I get the point. Where is also a person? So today is Thursday. He has gone to church as his custom is. They should know you for that. So the right Luke had already observed the life of Jesus very closely to say he came to Jerusalem. He came to the synagogue as his custom is. That's why that means he always does it. Always. Always. That's how a solid prayer life develops. You pray without ceasing. You pray in the morning. You pray tomorrow morning. You pray next tomorrow morning. Consistency like that. You do not catch fire as a Christian because you attended one powerful meeting. It doesn't work like that. After the powerful meeting, when you go back, what do you do after that? Consistently pray. Get me a Christian who prays 1 hour every day for 6 months. And another Christian who prays 7 hours in 2 months. I will take the one that prays only 1 hour for 6 months. I will. That one has a walk with God. I get the point. The other one visits God. The other one walks with God. Amen. So, you do not have a solid prayer life yet. If there is no consistency, this message calls for readjustment. It calls for readjustment. Consistency. It's in that consistency that you begin to see the result of prayer. Amen. Daddy, you say that every time we confess the word, say that our words are powerful. So when I speak, it's done. Now something goes wrong. You now say, in the name of Jesus, let it done. Nothing happens. You don't know why? It is consistency in your confession too that brings results. How to be an average student 101. read only when exam is approaching. You'll be a super average student. How to be an excellent student? Read every day of the semester, at least an hour. You'll be an excellent student. It's a very simple thing. That anointing that comes upon you, like spirit upon, to read only when there is an exam and lifts after the exam, is not doing you good. So you just come to school, whiling away your time, go to class whenever you want, then suddenly they release the exam timetable. And deep, call it on to deep. You just arise and begin to read like a mad person. What do you want? You are going to succeed, but just as an average student. Average. How was I able to go to school actually? Okay? With all the programs I was attending. Is what I'm sharing with you. Those, if you give me an assignment, now this was me. I think it was only once or twice, I can remember now. And they gave us assignments in school. And you know, that kind of assignment they give you, you don't even know they give you assignments. You come on the day when they're submitting, everybody's writing. You say, what did they give? Let me write too. That's always happened to me. I tell you why. I know I'm a very busy person. So if you give me an assignment today, and I'm going to submit it in 4 weeks' time, or in 3 weeks' time, I'm going to do it that day. And keep it. That was how it worked. You get a point? Do it and keep it. The worst that can happen is that I forget it at home. I cannot not do it. I can't bring it. When they don't teach you in class every day, at least read that thing they taught you that day. You are building consistency. That's why some of you don't do well in exam, because when the exam is coming up, you are supposed to be doing like 8 hours every day, for instance. But the first day, for the first 1 week, you are building capacity. Where exam has reached? That capacity is something you should have built throughout the semester. Pray consistently. Say amen. Consistently. Stay in prayer. Consistently. Connected to consistency, for instance, your prayer life must have perseverance. Perseverance. Now, we talk about perseverance when we're talking about a particular need. If I pray for a particular thing, you must have perseverance in your prayer life. Now, we persevere in prayer not because God is holding back our answers. Whenever we pray, God answers. But because, for instance, if I'm praying over a job, that job is in the realm of men. So even when God has given the job, for instance, there is someone that has to sign on the job. There is someone that has to conduct the interview. So I've persisted in prayer because of the state of the heart of men. So we can realign their hearts to agree to what we are praying for. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? So we don't persist in prayer because God is holding back. We persist in prayer because men's hearts for us have to align. Again, we persist in prayer because sometimes the devil can stand against whatever you are praying about. Are you following me? Are you following me? And one of the ways he stands against those things is that he can begin to move men against your prayer. So you're praying, for instance, to get a job. And in the course of a prayer, there is someone in that office who is not born again, who is inside of the job. The devil can go possess her heart and fill her with hatred towards you. As you're entering the interview panel, she just says it for no reason. I don't want to give this guy the job. You have to contend with that devil. That's how we persist in prayer. Not because God is holding back our prayers, but because there is a devil to contend with. Are you following the point? Daniel was praying in Daniel chapter 10 and in verse 12. The angel came to him and told him, from the first day that thou said thy heart to understand and chasing thyself before thy God, thy words to your head. Say, your prayers were answered from the first day. But what happened? The prince of Persia withstood him for 21 days. Look at that. 21 days. So Daniel persevered in prayer for 21 days, not because God was holding back, but because there was a Satan standing against his prayer. The man who does not have persistence and perseverance in prayer will not have his answers. Truthfully, the answers will be, prayers will be answered, but he will not see them. You are praying for God to change someone. Just for two weeks and say, he didn't change. Or God stayed there. Persist in prayer. Persist in prayer. Continue in prayer. Persevere in prayer. Hold on in prayer. Are you following me, friends? Hold on in prayer. People that quit in prayer demonstrate that they are not men of faith. It is faith to stay long in prayer. Let me tell it to you simply. When you pray for a matter, you know that matter has left God's hand. I gave them an example in the first service, how persistence in prayer is. You have an uncle who is in the US, and you ask for something. You need shoes and clothes. And then he sends it to DHL. And he says, I've sent it. You know, it's beginning to come in. Then you call DHL office over there. They say, yes, it's here. The thing eventually gets to DHL in Nigeria. If you don't want them to deliver in your house, you go to the office. They say, you have to sign here and sign here. You have to wait a little. You keep going back there, clearing up whatever till you get it. Why? You are insisting because that thing has left your uncle's hands. The answer is not with him. It's now with men and other circumstances. So you don't stop. I don't persist in prayer because God is holding back. You persist because these things are in the realm of men. I follow what I'm saying. It's a sign that you are in faith. Because you believe that whatever God has said will happen, will happen. So you persist and insist in prayer. Say amen, somebody. So persevere in prayer because there are satanic interferences. We align ourselves. You know, one of the reasons why we persist in prayer, for instance, is because somehow, sometimes we are the ones stopping our prayers from being answered. Because we've not learned to follow the steps, to keep steps to the Spirit. You understand what I said now? Let me give an example. You're praying for, give me a prayer point. Give an example. An example of a prayer point. What are you praying for? Huh? Give me an example. Huh? Talk. Life partner. Okay, I pray for a life partner. Is it partner in business or? Okay, business partner. Reading partner. What? Life partner. Last ministry partner. Ministry is our life. So I pray for a wife, for your husband. Now, once you pray, God has answered. Why do I keep praying that prayer? The thing is this. Maybe I'm praying as a man. I don't even met the girl. So I am bayless. And at the moment, nobody's even entering my eye. I just did. But I'm praying. I'm trying to show you sometimes how you are the hindrance to your prayer. So I pray for your life partner. And then in the process of time, what God will begin to do is, He already has people in mind that He wants you to meet. He will begin to set up occasions that will make you meet them. They might even be in church. He will make both of you sit side by side. He can just set your heart, just say hi to that sister, not for anything. Just ask her how her service. Did you catch that thing Pastor was saying today? When he talked about that consistency, it didn't hit me. Now, it's not like you guys are in a relationship. They're just talking. But you know, if a man is not given to prayer, sometimes he might not pick all those promptings. Because listen, to get a life partner, for instance, it takes being at the right place at the right time. But if you're not properly led by the Spirit, which happens mostly when you're given to prayer, you won't even know where you're supposed to be. Maybe at the time that sister you're supposed to talk to is coming out of the door, that's when you're going out to go and buy biscuits. What are you doing with biscuits? Stay there. They want to catch you. But then, there are people that have missed their miracles by 1 minute. That just immediately they left. You know, it was when they left that building that that man giving that job came. Yeah. But the reverse should be your case. You just left that office and that bomb blast happened. Someone was testifying to me, you know, just this week. Coming for one of our, the program we had just in Shepherd's Foundation last week, and he told me when they wanted to leave the park, they had a delay. And the Sienna, they entered, had a delay, and all of that. By the time they finally left and arrived, they got to a spot just few seconds after they just arrived. Before they arrived, they robbed everybody on that street. That's a holy delay. A good one. Prayer orchestrates your steps. So sometimes when you are praying for long and persevering, It's not just to align everybody. Sometimes it's to align yourself to what God is already doing. Because sometimes when you pray, most times God has already answered and kept the answer waiting. It's not for you to walk into it. So you're praying for your wife. Sometimes the person you're supposed to talk to will just pass you. And all you need to do was say hi. Sometimes that hi is not even like the person is going to be your wife. That person is a friend to your wife. And through that way, both of you will meet. But no, you're not sensitive. That's why you frown your face. Very straight. Just walk up and down. So that you even start speaking in tongues. Oga, say hi. And I'm liberating every brother here. Every highness that has been coming to me to say it after the service. Now, sister, when they tell you hi, don't reason anything. You might not be the wife, I'm just a friend to the wife. Don't worry. Oh my God. But God orders our footsteps. He orders our footsteps. Now, some of you that have jobs you are doing today, you have jobs you are doing, you have people you are married to, and you're just wondering sometimes, what would have happened if I didn't get into that bus that day? What would have happened if I didn't go to that place that day when I met that person? You have things like that in your life. What would have happened if I just ignored that leading? Because sometimes God connects our life by little thoughts. Yeah. But we pray for something, and then the next day, praying for a job. And then 2 days after, God just puts it to your heart. You just feel like attending this program or this seminar. And that seminar that's saying nothing about the job, but it has planted someone that I was supposed to meet. 3 weeks later, you have a job. What would have happened if you didn't go for that seminar? Don't miss God, though. That's why we are persisting in prayer sometimes. It's not even the situations we are aligning. It's our own hearts we are aligning to step into what God has already done. Are you following me, friends? So a quality prayer life has persistence. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on God. You're praying for your business to do well. Continue until it does well. Stay there until it corrects. Stay there until things align. I guess what I'm saying. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there. Don't get tired easily in place of prayer. At least you know that matter has left the hand of God. It's not God holding back. See, if God has released this thing to me, why don't I have it yet? I'm going to wait until I see it. Again, you see why we talked about consistency. Because if all you have is an exciting 6 hours prayer session that happens once in 3 months, how can you persevere in prayer? I get what I'm saying now. How can you persevere in prayer? That's why that makes people celebrate in our generation. Let me tell you something. I've been having this prompting very well. I've been seeing things like that in this service. Let me tell you something. Your prayer life is not to impress anybody. It's for your own good. All these time people want to pray and they put camera. They put camera on the mount now. So you actually brought selfie stick. Position the camera. Or possibly call someone. Because sometimes I see the camera quality. The quality is high. They even have 2-3 cameras at a time. So there are 4 people in the room and you're doing. What are you doing? And foolish people on your comment section saying, oh, fire, fire. Oh, all of you are confused. That's not it. Have you observed in all of Jesus' prayer time, we were not told everything he prayed about? We just know the general thing he went to pray. If it is possible, let this cup pass over me. But he prayed for 3 hours. Because he wasn't there showing them. It wasn't drama. It wasn't drama. We are in a generation where it's all about optics. Please don't be like that. Really pray. Really, really pray. I got what I'm saying. The prayer life. Persevere in prayer. The result of prayer is not telling us that you prayed. When you are praying, we will see the results. The results will show. You don't need to tell us about your prayer life. When there's a prayer life, we will see it. If pastor doesn't have to talk much about his prayer life, if I have a prayer life, you will know. You will know. You know by how I talk. You will know by what happens, the presence that I carry when I enter a place. You will know. You will know by how I have needs met. When I tell you things are done, and I'm speaking from my head and from the flesh, you will know. How will you know? It will not be done. I get what I'm saying. So, when you're praying, the result will eventually show. So build a prayer life, not for optics. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about people that, when I talk about praying with camera, please, I'm not talking about people that do like, that hold prayer watches, that things like that. Okay, I'm not against all those things. Once is what they want to do in their church. They want to pray. But I'm talking about where a believer or a pastor says he has gone on his personal retreat. Emphasis on personal retreat. And he's videoing himself. Why are you videoing yourself your personal retreat? It's a corporate retreat. We all attended with you. Amen. So I love to pray. The final thing that must be found in your prayer life, if it's going to have a quality time, a quality prayer life, is fasting. Say amen. Fasting. And the next 10 minutes that we'll have, I'm going to just explain fasting to you. Because you must understand what fasting is. But every believer must fast. There are two extremes to this fasting thing. There are some who don't fast at all. Because they claim they are new creation people. Jesus has fasted for us. They even tell you, Jesus did not fast for you. Are you aware? Jesus didn't fast for you. He didn't pray for you. He's done everything for us. He's not in fasting. Jesus did not say he has given everything for us. So it's time to give offering. No, he gave for me. Amen. And yet you go to work every day. He don't work for you. Jesus has written your exam for you. Don't write exam. Huh? Are you catching it? Don't go to school. Jesus has gone to school for you. You have knowledge. A big gnosis. You fast. Then there's another extreme of people who put everything on their fasting. And do some crazy things. And I said something in the first service. God will rarely ask you to go some crazy miles in fasting. To do 18 days. Rarely. Most times you hear those things, a demon is talking to you. He wants to take away your life. Destroy your liver and your kidney. That's the problem of that demon. But it will not work. You have a pastor. I won't let it happen. But sometimes when you are doing 18 days fast, most times when you are getting to the 6th, 7th, 8th day, you can't even say anything again. You're just lying down. Watch it. Who has ever attempted what I'm saying? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Uh-huh. You're just looking at the ceiling. If a devil is coming towards you, you cannot say nothing. You can't say, I bind you. You're just watching. I told some girls not to fast that long. They said they wanted to do 7 days. I told them not to. Well, as a matter of fact, I fast a lot. Okay, that's disclaimer. I actually fast more than you. Actually, I fasted for 1 year. I fasted. I've gone on 3 days dry fasting, 4 days dry fasting. I've done all those things. But that's the highest I've done. And that 4 days was once. Only once. I'm trying to tell you, I'm not saying you shouldn't fast. 2 days, many times. Some of you have done 7 days. Congrats. I've not reached your level. But I'm going to tell you the proper place of fasting. I told these guys not to fast. They insisted they were going to fast. That 7 days. And they did it. They didn't let them hide and do it. Start telling me. They were in the hostel. I said, I want to do 7 days fasting as a secondary school student in the hostel. You go to class every morning. But maybe I wasn't too spiritual. They insisted I started doing it. They were going to class fasting. The day they ended the fast, it was on the third or fourth day. I'll tell you how the fast ended. They were two. They stood up from their bed to go out and fell back. The girl told me nobody, they didn't discuss with each other. They just stood up, managed to stand up again, and walked straight to the canteen. Like nobody said nothing to nobody. They walked straight to the canteen, and I said, do you guys discuss? They said no. They knew deep quarters onto deep. They knew where they were about to go to. They went and bought food. So I asked them in those days, how many times did you pray? Say by the by the second day, I was already seeing things. And this is sometimes an attempt to brag. You know, that's what it is sometimes, to brag. There is fasting from the Old Testament to the New Testament. People fasted. Esther fasted. In Acts 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas." So they fasted. In Acts 14, verse 23, you see another case of fasting. When they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting. So they fasted. So no doubt, you must fast. But they must know what fasting is and what it is not. For instance, fasting is not an attempt to move God to do anything for you. You can't blackmail God with your fasting. Says, "I am fasting now." I will say something. Let's leave it. As I'm fasting now, God will see my seriousness and not give me whatever. What do you think God is? So, yeah, you know what they're trying to say is, God never wanted to give you anything. But when you started fasting, you not say, "Chai, this guy will soon die, or let me give him." No. No. God is willing. Even before you thought of praying, he's a prayer answering father. So it's not because when you start fasting, you fast upon God will say, "Ah, my son, let me just give you." Ah. And Jamaican, imagine. He has not eaten for 4 days. Let's give him before he dies. Some actually died. Pastor Nature told the story of a pastor that died in their church. It took the miracle working power of God to get him back to life. It was on a 40 days fast. I don't know how long he did. Is it 40 days or so? Finished the fast. He took water. Cold water. Immediately he took it. I think they say he had constriction or so. And fell down and died. Yes. So who killed him? Who led him on that fast? Is it God? God wants to take away your life. I get what I'm saying. God does not lead people to commit suicide. God doesn't lead people to commit suicide. God doesn't want to destroy your liver and your lungs and your kidney and your bladder and your intestine, whatever that is. And you know why I'm saying this in freely like this? I know what you saw on social media. I know you see people that brag with these things. You want to go far with the Lord? I have not done 21 days. I have not done. Pastor David Ibiome said he has never fasted more than 24 hours in his life. Real life story. I was laughing. He said, "Some of you have fasted. I've never, but I've never, never in his life." The problem is something makes you feel you have to do something to connect to God. First, fasting doesn't give you access to God. It doesn't give you access to portals. If there's anywhere like that. Oh. God will help you. That is sanitization. God is sanitize your head. Many extra biblical concepts have come into the church. Do you know? I don't want to go too far with it. Don't say, "Pastor, I will never fast again." Go and read Brother Egan's book, A Common Sense Guide to Fasting. Write it. Common Sense Guide to Fasting, Brother Egan. It's not the book for the moment, but it will help you. In that book, he said, and it's actually true, there is no single instruction in the epistles to fast. Now, people fasted in the epistles, but there was no single instruction. That was the reason. Now, when I gave fasts, and he talked about his fasting in that book. Very balanced material. Very balanced material. Short book, so if you're not a good reader, you can finish it very quickly. It's not up to 50 pages. Short book, small book. But you see, the idea is not because you want to show off. You want to do 18 days, 21 days. In that book, he talked about the pastor that almost died. Because he was fasting. What is the point of fasting? To remove distraction and focus on the Lord. Look at the example I gave them in the first service. I'm talking inside this hall. Because I wonder, "Pastor, if you know this, why do you always ask us to fast?" I'm telling you why. I'm talking inside this hall. But then, maybe this keyboard is playing. Increase that keyboard. Increase it again. Incredible,
bringing out.
Now, I'm trying to finish what fasting is. Did you hear anything I said? So, now, the idea of fasting is, for instance, God is speaking to you. Food is distracting. Movies are distracting. Internet is distracting. So, when I say shut down all those so that you can focus more and hear what God is saying. Do you love my illustrations? I do some things that you can never forget in your life. So, imagine as that is playing very loud. We put a movie here. It's shouting very loud. I wanted to practice, but let's leave it. So that is loud. This is loud. Everybody's talking in this place. And you now say, reduce that thing. But you are trying to. Now, you're reducing it will not get me to talk. I'm already talking. You want to hear what I'm saying better. So it's not fasting that makes God speak to you. Fasting just goes up so that I can hear God better. I know what I'm saying. It's not fasting that makes God answer your prayer. But fasting can remove distraction so you can focus and find out what is actually wrong. Why is this not answered? Why is this not fixed? It brings focus. It brings focus. So you know what you're doing. So you now see the foolishness where you go on 100 days fast, but you are not praying. So what is happening? You've removed distraction. And you are no longer praying. Do you understand? The point is to make decision and focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Say, prayer life, quality one, must have days in the week that you cut down on things so you can pray better. Somebody asked me, I said in the first service, if I'm fasting and I'm going to school, is it allowed? Well, I can tell you it's allowed. Some days, if I say it's not allowed, you might never fast in your life because every day there is something you are busy doing. But I asked him, if you are going to work and you are fasting, for instance, minus fasting, at work, don't you have lunch breaks? He said, we do. I said, that lunch break, pray with it. Don't you have times where you gist with your friends? He said, yes, that gist time, pray with it. It is to cut off all those distractions so that you can have more time to pray and study your Bible and focus on the Lord. Amen. That's why in our generation, I think, there should be more emphasis served on fasting social media than fasting food. You remove food, but your main distraction is Instagram, TikTok. And whoever says you must be on every social media platform, who said that? I was saying that in the first service. You're on Instagram. You're on Facebook. You don't know Buko, but you're on Facebook. You're on Thread. You're on X. Things that come into my head to say. All these rhymes. You're on Facebook. You don't know book. You're on Thread. But you're not trending. Amen. You're on X. Your prayer life will soon expire. But the point is, what is the point of all those things? Data is going. Time is going. Social media came to prove that the reason we don't have a quality prayer life is not time. It's not time. Because you have time for social media. All this is, I don't have time to pray. It's a lie. You sleep by 10 p.m. or so it says. But when you lie down, you don't eventually sleep till 1 a.m. What are you doing? You're on your phone. So there's actually time for prayer. So there are days you decide for the next 3 days. I'm fasting social media. I'm not going to open my Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Now, it's not just to fast it and now start watching film. Well, that's another thing. You fast on social media and now watching film. It is you fast it. That period you have used to do whatever. You are studying your Bible. You're praying. Some of you need to fast movies for 1 week. Because the Bible will tell us different kinds of fast, for instance. For instance, the kind of fast that Daniel observed, open Daniel chapter 9 verse 1. Daniel did not go out, did not stop eating entirely. Continue, that's verse 2. I understood my books. Come on, move. Verse 4. Verse 5. Is it Daniel 1? Or is it Daniel 10? Let me look for it. Where he said he did not eat any choice. He ate no choice food. your choice meat. Okay, chapter 10, verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 whole weeks. Now, see the next verse. I ate no pleasant bread. So he was eating, but he wasn't eating enough. He wasn't eating any pleasant thing. What was he eating? He was just eating to have strength. But no wine, no meat, nothing. He was just there. There are days, Brother Egan will talk about living a fasted life, where you just eat very little. You see, that's what it does. You eat very little. Sometimes in the whole day, you eat once. It's not fasting, but it's cutting off all the distractions so I can focus more on prayer and the word. Say, he told his wife, anytime you come to call me to the dining table and I do not come, he said, don't bother sending the children. I just want to have some more time to pray. Said he met some pastors who these people can eat. And he said, try to stay with them. And he said they can eat because he stays with them, but they shout the most on the stage. He said, throughout the time he stayed with them, he will never tell them, I'm fasting. But when they bring food, he will just say, I don't think I've eaten tonight. I just want to have some more time to pray and spend time with the Lord. That's what fasting is. You must have it in your prayer time. So it's not staying away from food and not praying. No. But it's not fasting at all. So your prayer life must have fasting. Fasting. You put up at least 2 times in a week. If you can mature to the point where you begin to live a fasted life, then you, once in a while, you also fast properly, but then fasted life. Where every day you eat, all this eating everything, one day you eat a banana, chewing gum, everything in your stomach, you don't have time to pray. What of skipping breakfast and skipping lunch? What of sometimes you skip dinner? Reverend Dr. Marco taught us a fast. He called night fasting. Where you skip dinner so that sleep will not catch you, so that you can pray through the night. And it worked for me as a young Christian. It worked for me very well. Because most times in the day, we are busy with everything. Sometimes my last meal is 4 p.m. From 7, 8, on my Bible and on the word, praying through the night. Through the night. That's so you cut off distractions and you focus on the Lord. Your prayer life must have fasting. A prayer life that has no fasting is not a very solid prayer life. That doesn't have removing distraction. Why do you fast, for instance? I've already saying it. You fast to put the flesh under. You put the flesh under. People that cannot fast food, cannot fast social media, cannot fast certain things, can I say to you, they lack self-control over every other aspect of their life. If you can't stay one day without eating, you can't control your appetite for food, you can't control your appetite for what? For movies, you can't control your appetite for social media. The chances are you cannot control your appetite for sex too. You cannot control your appetite for money. Because it's all about appetites. I feel like I'm talking about friends. You can't. So you fast to keep that flesh under. Second reason, for instance, second thing you can do with fasting, like I already said, you can remove distractions to focus on them so they can hear better. So first, fasting helps in decision making. Not because God will begin to speak more when you fast, but because you begin to hear more when you remove distractions. In Acts 27 and verse 20, Bible tells us, verse 20 and 21, after long abstinence. In other words, that not eating for long. Verse 21, go back to King James. I love how he mentioned it. He said, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth. Now, this abstinence was, they had nothing to eat. Both Paul and the other person in the crew. But then Paul used his own time to pray. And eventually an angel appeared to him and told him, you shall not die. You appear before Caesar. Now, that period of fasting made it easier for Paul to hear. That's why if I give you a regimen, for instance, to pray for 1 week, pray for 1 month, pray for 3 months, add fasting to it. It doesn't mean you're fasting throughout. But then, cut that period of prayer, cut down on certain distractions. If friends are a distraction, cut down on them in that month. If social media is a distraction, cut down on social media in that month. Are you following? I'm talking about friends. Cut down on social media. Cut down on food. Eat once. Some of you know me. The welfare team can tell you, and all my pastors that work with me, my wife is here. If I'm in the midst of a program, for instance, I'm about to start 30 days of light from 22nd, it's a fasting period for me. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to announce no more eating, but I will eat as little as I can just to keep body and soul together so I don't fall down while preaching to you. So most of us are praying, doing all this away. Morning, no food. At least morning to like 2. Even till now, I've not eaten. Feeling to like 2, no food. I just stay. That too, I eat little. If I like, bring 10 wraps of akko, is about 1 or 2. Sometimes 1. Then at night, eat little. So that's what I prefer to do at night. Sometimes anyway, it's just to eat fruits and I can sleep. Now, I want to keep myself as light as possible. Not where you eat so much. They've come to pick you up for the program to go and preach. You're in the toilet. Remove distractions as much as you can. That place, it helps me. Do you know sometimes, when we go to Holy Ghost meetings, that's what I'm talking about, when you cut down fast on food and distraction, you can pick. I'll give you an example. The last Holy Ghost meeting we had, that was, what program was that? Man Up. Do you remember that night? Are you blessed? Shortly before that meeting, daily after morning session, I didn't have time to wait on the Lord. I was so busy. A lot of things happened. I was running up and down that period. I just, who was in the hotel with me that day? It was you, Pastor Izu. By the time we came into the hotel, the program had started here. I just went, had it, came out. I didn't have time to like start praying, say, Father, what do you want to do tonight? But I knew I was in that program mode, that fasting thing. So I knew what was going to happen. The day I came up to the stage, I picked up the mic, everywhere opened up. I could sense it in the Holy Ghost. But I was telling my wife as we were coming, I said, I have not really spent time, I have not had time. But I know that, that's why fasting, when in that environment where you focus on the Lord a lot, is easier to hear. Yes, there's something. It also helps you to solve difficult problems. When some issues are standing very long, you've been praying and it's not solving, please get to fast. Fasting will not make the issues to go away. It's not like God will say, because of the fasting, I'm going to solve it. But sometimes when you remove distractions, you get to see clearly what you're not doing right or what you need to handle. Are you following what I'm talking about here? You now see that, okay, it's not like maybe you've been praying the wrong prayer. Or look at what you should actually address. Give yourself to prayer. Amen. Let me read the last scripture for us. James 5 and verse 16 with Amplified Classic. James 5 verse 16. Now that thing we do with fasting, that is very powerful. If I come to this verse, is that we minister to the Lord. There are fasts you can call sometimes, not because there's a problem, just because you just want to pray and minister to the Lord. And I'm going to encourage some of you. We work Monday to Friday. Days like Saturday, use it for fasting. Wake up in the morning by 7 or 8. You're not going nowhere. Stay inside praying and worshiping till around 1 or 2. Quality time. You're a government worker. They say, oh, Monday is public holiday. Glory to God, that's a fasting day. You cut off everything and spend time with the Lord. Every opportunity should be used to fast and pray. As the Bible said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, Acts 13 verse 2, the Holy Ghost said, "Speak unto me." Like I always say, they didn't come to that meeting to check if the Holy Ghost would tell them to separate Paul and Barnabas. They were just ministering to the Lord and they heard. Look at what I said in the first service. If we only fast because we want to pray for a car, God will most probably talk to us about the car we are praying for. If we are praying because we want to fast because we want to pray for a job, God will probably talk to us about the job we are praying about. But when we just come to fast and we are just ministering to the Lord, God can talk to us about anything in His heart. Do you know what I told you now? If I just pray because you want direction, what can I tell about direction? But if you make out time and just come to prayer and you're just praying and fasting, so what I'm praying about, I'm just enjoying sweet worship with God. Just maybe the shakala, chrome butter. Before you know, you've covered more than 30 prayer points. Because the Holy Ghost will carry you, go where you don't know. He will take you here. He will take you here. Have you ever expressed what I'm talking about? He will take you here in prayer. Before you know, you've prayed for A, you've prayed for B, you've prayed for C. When you are done, you are coming out. You are so edified, so revived. Include fasting to your prayer life. Include it too. Your life will change. Ephesians 5:16. Let's close with that. Amplified Classic. The B part of it. Let's read together. The earnest. Look for that place where earnest appeared. Have you seen it? Let's start. The earnest, heartfelt. Now stay there. He said the earnest. I talked about seriousness. Then heartfelt. Continued consistency. Pray of a righteous man. So for prayer to make tremendous power available, it has to be earnest. It has to be heartfelt. It has to be continuous. Then you find tremendous power made available. Why are you blessed? Play this song. You are Alpha and Omega. Stand your feet, lift your hands all over the space. Song. We worship you, sing.
We worship you,
alone.
You are worthy.
Say, we give you all, we give you all, we give you all.
We give you all.
We worship you, King.
We worship you,
Lord.
You are worthy.
For the last time, with your hands lifted up, and your voice will sound in this place. We give you all. Remember, every teaching on prayer is to the end that you will pray. So as you return home, take your prayer life as serious as you should. The idea of this series is to give you a quality prayer life, not a jamboree prayer life. And I know we are doing a good job already. So go back. Some of you, this fasting you need to incorporate into your life. If you remove distractions, you will hear from God better. You will. You will. Glory to God. Are you blessed this morning? Are you sure you are blessed? Just lift your voice. Pray in the Holy Ghost just a minute. In thanksgiving to Him. Once I say you pray, start praying. Take off. Don't put to pray. Start immediately. Blessing our lives. We're getting better. Our prayer life is getting better and better. In Jesus' name we pray.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.